Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 624. I don't know. I think the audio got in there as I already potted the mic up, but this is your host Josh Albrecht, and this is episode 624. Yeah, I a little distracted coming out of the gate there. I'm gonna leave that one in there and not record again. Start the recording again. I had my trusty sidekick Agent Fox Mulder in my lap. I was trying to pet him and keep him from laying on the laptop, but he bit me as I was just potted up the mic. So we got a little bit of that sound or whatever the hell it was I made. Oh, way to add that in there, Fox. You're quite the sidekick. That was pretty fantastic. I did enjoy that. That was I better close his laptop. He's going to end up laying on it. And as he's laying in front of my keyboard, he's really helping out tonight. He's really in it. He's like, man, you've been doing this alone. I figure you really need the extra support. You really need a co-host again. And so here he is. I should mention, this is, of course, August 3rd as I'm recording this, which is Shelley, of course, my brother, who co-hosted this with me for years. Hasn't been on in a while. But, it's his birthday today. So, big happy birthday to him. I was trying to call him right before recording here. But, he's probably busy. He's probably doing something. They do, him and Nabina, they do a lot of stuff. Go out a lot. Just strong chance he's going out tonight somewhere. Up in the STL. Up in the St. Louis somewhere. Probably going to a point event. As he did go to see Corey Feldman's band a few weeks ago. I guess, you know, I mean, what the hell? Damn it. Okay, the cat is hitting buttons I had. That totally fucked me up to hear myself talking. And I wasn't talking. That was a recording? Because I have the website open up to... the podcast there, and Fox here is laying on the desk, and he hit, I guess with his tail here, the keyboard that then hit the play button on the website. That totally fucked my shit up. All right, he's being a great co-host here. I don't know if you can hear the audio of his tail slapping the table, or the desk rather, but he's... he's helping out a bunch. Sad, I guess he's really wanting the attention now, as I guess he did pick up on the fact that I talked to my good friend Megan, that because I has been talking, I guess, for the last few weeks or what have you, that I was going to possibly adopt another three-legged cat. But it sounds like there's somebody else that's going to adopt Parker. So, well, he's out of luck there. Sorry, Fox. Shit out of luck there. You're stuck with me, so now he's got to be right in front of me on the desk. Oh, that was not exactly how I expected to come out of the gate. That, the joys of being a cat owner. An owner. He does his own thing. I don't really own him per se. He's just here. He showed up. And he owns the. If anybody's being owned, it's me. He owns this guy. This guy right here. And it's been a crazy week. I believe I had mentioned. Maybe I'd mentioned it last week. Unfortunately, I didn't really know the guy. There was a couple weeks back, I went to a party over at Jackman's, where the former home to the Slapbox bunker. I, of course, lived there for over a decade. And Tony, of course, Jackman's wife, has her, I guess I'd say her best friend, Sarah, who now lives across the street from them over there. She had started seeing this guy, and they had a party just a couple of weeks ago that I went to. And I didn't really end up talking to the guy. I guess I did a little bit, but I mean, there was several people over there, and there was drinking involved. So it's not like I got to know her, this guy she was seeing. She was seeing this guy. Well, unfortunately, I'm not sure what his name was, but he was only 38 years old, and he had a heart attack the other, last week. And passed away, which is, you know, that fucking sucks. It is the number one cause of sudden death. I don't know, like, the details. I'm assuming that he probably was unaware of the fact that he had any kind of heart condition, because that's usually what happens if somebody has a heart attack and, like, passes away suddenly. They're unaware. Usually if you know, you're... have kind of an idea of, like, when to get to the hospital immediately. But, you know, I don't know the situation behind it. Any which way, if he did know, it's just fucking sucks. But my good friend John Gale, whom I work with, he didn't die. I just want to start that. He did not die. But I guess it was Thursday morning, yeah. Thursday morning, we went into work. He showed up to work. And he was already past the points. And so if he missed any more work, he was going to get canned. Well, he showed up to work, and his heart rate was going through the roof. He felt real lightheaded and was told the people in the office, like, hey, I know that I've got, like, no points left. I'm going to get fired if I leave. And I had actually asked him, like, what happens if I just go out there and start working? And, like, his heart rate was through the roof. He was having an actual medical emergency. They were like, well, we can't technically stop you. Which sounds like if you can tell that somebody's, you can easily check for a heart rate and tell that, oh, holy shit, this person's heart is going through the fucking roof. But, they apparently had told him that they couldn't technically stop him. But he ended up leaving and going to the hospital. And they checked his heart rate there, of course. And it was, like, 237 beats per minute. Which, if you're not familiar with, you know, heart rate, that's extremely fucking high. That's dangerously fucking high. I'm not sure the fastest I've ever had. I know while running, and I'm talking like hard running in the heat, just like really working. Though, like, I mean, if you do a lot of cardio, like a lot of long distance running, your heart rate's going to be a bit lower than a normal person that would never does cardio. So, like, you know, my resting heart rate's probably below the average guy my age that doesn't do cardio. But even that being said, like, when I'm running hard and stuff, like, I might hit 185. That's high. That's when I'm really pushing. Maybe if I really go balls to the wall, I might hit like 190. I'm definitely never going over 200. If that happens, I'm like, I can't run. I gotta do some walking, and got to get that heart rate down. Like, that's 180 is already when I'm like, okay, let's back it off. But the only time I think my heart rate might have gotten anywhere near that rate, of which I didn't have a heart rate monitor on, now I've got a watch that tells me. But at the time, like, it was back in 2015 when I got bit by the brown recluse and I was on prednisone. I'm pretty sure I had an allergic reaction to the prednisone, the steroid. And if I did very much of anything, it sent my heart rate, like, through the roof. Well, I decided to do one run while I was on the prednisone. And I made it 1 mile. It was a 5 mile group run. I made it 1 mile, and I could tell that my heart has never beat faster before that or after it. I knew I was like, if I finished the run, I was really afraid that like it might, my heart might fucking explode. I would venture to guess it was over 200 beats per minute, but I couldn't tell you because again, I didn't have like a monitor. I didn't like put my fucking finger over my wrist and like count the, do a time thing. I just knew like, I got to stop running. I could feel the vein in my forehead pulsating out as I was like, holy shit, I've never felt that before. That is concerning, and it freaked me the fuck out, and then I walked back to my car. I told a few people that I was running with because we were at a point where we stopped and waited for everybody to connect back up with us, and this was back in the time when I was like a front runner. I would be one of the first people to the stops because I was a bit faster back then as opposed to now. A lot of times I'm in the back nowadays. But at that time, I was in the best shape of my entire life. Hands down, the best shape of my entire life. So it was a freaky thing. I was probably about John's age, actually. Probably around, because John is 33. Way too young to be having these heart issues. But I would venture to guess my heart was somewhere in the over 200. It was just insanely fast. Which I am quite curious. There's got to be some kind of, I mean, everybody's different. Like some people just, their heart, they have a faster heart rate and whatnot. I'm not sure if there's like a, let's see, how fast can the human heart beat? Here we go. Four, three, oh shit. Well, this is AI. I'm not listening to you, AI. Fucking AI. I wish Google... just do, get away with the AI shit. Okay, the theoretical limit. It's the maximum conduction rate to be about 300 beats per minute. However, there have been several cases in literature. I guess this is... I'm not reading the whole article. There's more before this, but there's been several cases in the literature which have reported the heart rates of above 300 per minute. The fastest human ventricular conduction rate reported to date is conducted tachyarrhythmia with ventricular rate of 480 beats per minute. We report telemetry recording of an extreme non-fatal tachyarrhythmia noted in a hospitalized quadriplegic male with history of atrial fibrillation where the average ventricular rate was about 600 beats per minute and was associated with a transient syncope. That's fucking insane. That's fucking insane. So, I mean, it can go 300 or more. It sounds like it's pretty fucking rare. John had told me what the doctors said he had. They ended up giving him some kind of medication. I don't know the name of the medication to bring his heart rate down. And when he told me, because we went to Mexican, he, of course, left work. Did not come back to work. A little hard to go back to your job as a steel worker as your fucking heart rate's going through the fucking roof and you got to lift all this fucking steel above your head and throw it. Not a great idea. Not a great idea. Again, if your heart rate's already like 237 or what it was he said it was. It's fucking hot where we work and you know doing that. I mean, you're asking to fucking die at that point. It's risky, shall we say. I believe he has a sort of arrhythmia. Apparently, there is a history of heart problems in his family. And but as of right now, they're trying medication out on him to see if that helps continue to keep his heart rate down, because, I mean, it is not good for you to keep having that high of a fucking heart rate, obviously. But if the medication doesn't work, then they'll have to go in and do some surgery. I'm not sure what type of surgery. I don't know if they'll end up needing a pacemaker or anything of that sort. He won't, unfortunately, be able to work where we work if that's the case. But as of right now, I mean, I'm guessing they're probably pretty optimistic that the medication will work, considering he's only 33. As far as I'm aware, he doesn't have any other health issues. And, you know, he's got to stay away from caffeine, anything that'll raise the heart rate. No alcohol, no caffeine, which I would be fucked at this point if I had to get rid of the caffeine. Alcohol, I could live without it. I still like the drink, but I could live without it. It'd be hard to go to Mexican again, because I feel like if I have Mexican food, I mean, I'm going to a Mexican restaurant, I'm going to need to get a margarita. Gonna need to do, I mean, it's just kind of what you do. You go to a fucking Mexican restaurant, you got to have a margarita. But John doesn't usually partake in the margarita. Well, I don't think he's ever had the margarita when we've gone to Mexican. If he'll drink it all, he'll have a beer. But he stuck to Sierra Mist, which is a non-caffeinated soda, while we were there. Yeah, man, that's just the point I guess I was getting to is, you know, hey, man, don't fuck around if you think you're having problems with your heart. It's shit's no joke. They don't call, you know, heart attacks like the Widowmakers for the fun of it. But, man, fuck. 33. John should be outliving me. There's no, I've got 10 years on him. I mean, they don't seem to be concerned that he's going to die, like, anytime soon. But, you know, that's a shit to find out you have problems like that. I used to work with, at Magnet, I worked with a woman, Heather, that had heart problems. I remember she had to have a stent. I know she had to have a few surgeries and stuff. I'm not sure what all surgeries and shit she had. She had to have, like, all kinds of medication. But she had been that way for quite some time, I believe. She's, I guess, in her 30s now at the time I was working with her. She's a few years younger than me. She might be hit for... Fuck, I don't know. I guess it was when we worked on the same machine together. It was, fuck, probably like 10 years ago at this point. It was a while back, and I guess at that point she was like in her 20s. I'm like maybe 3 or 4 years older, so I'm guessing she's probably getting close to 40-ish. Not sure. Doesn't really matter, but she's been having heart problems for quite a long time. But, I mean, she's still around, so there's... It's not a death sentence, especially if, you know, you catch it. And, you know, there's, thankfully... things you can do. But past that, on a much lighter, brighter note, I did see Deadpool and Wolverine. I did see it. It's pretty exciting. Went with Shelley there and Muffin Man. We went to the B&B over in Wentzville to see it. I haven't seen a movie there in years. Or no, sorry, not Wentzville. Wildwood. The last time I went to B&B before Deadpool and Wolverine was to the Wentzville one. And I believe it was Rise of Skywalker we saw last there. And we hit up Buffalo Wild Wings before going there. But that was like fucking, what was it, 2019, 2018? It was years ago. It was pre-COVID. I know that. I remember what year Rise of Skywalker came out. But it was definitely a minute ago. But we had a good time at the Deadpool. I enjoyed Deadpool Wolverine. I think my favorite part about it was the opening scene. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you're one of the three people that haven't seen it yet. Deadpool fights with using Wolverine's skeleton as he dug up. Wolverine, of course, you know, if you've seen Logan, you know that he Hugh Jackman's Wolverine dies at the end. And Deadpool goes to unbury him and be like, all right, we're going to, he's not dead. He's got a healing factor. We're going to, opens it up and it's just a fucking Adamantium skeleton with some like facial hair left on there. And then a great fight scene ensues while he's also doing the dance from the NSYNC, the Bye Bye Bye. Which is pretty fantastic. Great way to open it. Enjoyed it. I love seeing Hugh Jackman reprise himself as Wolverine and having Hugh Jackman's Wolverine with Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. I mean, they work well together. Hugh Jackman basically is a straight man. I love seeing when Deadpool's going through the different variants of Wolverine to try to find a good one to take back to his timeline. And to fix everything, to fix the all of that with the TVA. And there's a great, you get the, I didn't care for the Henry Cavill, his look as Wolverine. He just doesn't look right. He's, you know, Hugh Jack, okay, famously Wolverine in the comic book, very small. Very small. He's like 5'2", maybe. I don't remember exactly how tall. I guess I could pull up the interwebs. Internet.com. Check it out on there. See here. Wolverine the comics. I think it's like 5'2". Oh, 5'3". He's a bit taller than I thought. Yeah, he's the comic book Hugh Jackman is 5'3". Whereas Hugh Jackman is 6'3". A slightly larger. Like by a whole foot. So just think like subtract a subway foot long from Mr. Hugh Jackman, you get the actual height of the Wolverine from the comic. And then there's that funny little scene where you get the comic book accurate Wolverine and it's Hugh Jackman just looking super tiny. Which I feel like they made him smaller than 5'3" in that scene. He looks really fucking small. But I guess it really kind of varies. I guess it who depends on who draws the fucking comic. But like, because sometimes it looks like is as tall as the other characters. Again, it's, you know, just how you draw it. It's not like they're stating in every comic book like what the height is, which apparently someone said canonically that he's 5'3". So I don't know that, you know, it was a big thing. My point is, like, it was a big thing that people were, you know, when Hugh Jackman got the part as Wolverine, because there was a big debate when X-Men, I remember the first X-Men film before it came out, and they were trying to get that movie made for years. And Patrick Stewart was the dream choice for Charles Xavier because, I mean, hell yeah, I mean, he nailed it out of the park, too. I mean, how can you expect anybody else to be Charles Xavier? That, sorry, James McAvoy. But Patrick Stewart. Logan, she's your daughter, Logan. That's my Patrick Stewart, just that part. She's your daughter, Logan. Anyway. James McAvoy was all right, but there's Patrick Stewart's fucking Charles Xavier. Come on. Let's get real. They might as well have just modeled that character off him to begin with, which I doubt it. I don't think that, because at that point in time, Patrick Stewart, I think, was doing stage work in, like, the UK. I mean, it seems unlikely that, of course, you know, maybe they just saw a random picture of him and it was just Bam. Anyway, is that what the X-Men came out in the 60s? I think by that point, he was acting at that point and on the stage. As what, like the 80s that he was on the Star Trek The Next Generation? And I want to say he was like in his 40s then. He's like 80 now. He's pretty fucking old. Anyway, neither here nor there. The point I was getting at, Henry Cavill. I know a lot of people, again, like, bitch, initially they complained about Hugh Jackman and was like, he's way too big. But that, like, went away quickly as he just had that just chiseled fucking physique, man. When you think, like, superhero bodies and the going through the gauntlet of just fucking insane diet and fucking workout routine, Hugh Jackman put that shit on the map. He went, like, and he got more and more shredded as, like, the movies went on. Like, his fucking, and I remember before, like, checking into it, like, man, I'd love to be, get, you know, superhero ripped at some point, but I wouldn't want to, I don't think I'd really want to get that big. And, like, a lot of them, you know, just are just way bulky. But, I mean, if I was going to do one, it would be like the Wolverine. It would be fucking Hugh Jackman. Jack like Jackman. Holy fuck, man. If you look up to see, like, the diet that guy goes through, it's just something like 5,000. I don't remember how many calories a day he was taking, but it was something like 5,000 or 6,000. But, yeah, I mean, you go through periods. You go through fasting, and then, like, you're just, you got to really put your body through some shit. And, you know, it's only, like, peak, like, it's really some crazy shit you got to go through to get yourself to look like he does in the movies. And it's, I imagine, only a short window of time where he gets his body just right to film that shit. But, like, holy fuck. I mean, that is a superhero body. I mean, Mr. Jackman, kudos to you, sir. You almost made me want to fucking work out and do that. I don't think I could eat the food. I have digestion issues, and I'm finding it, as I'm getting older, harder to eat a lot of food. That just fucking destroys me. I can't imagine eating what he eats. Like, I feel like that would fucking kill me. But again, I mean, if I was doing all that, I mean, if I had a trainer, if I worked out, I don't think I could afford to eat what he eats. Like, again, it's an insane amount of food. I remember talking about years ago, probably when Logan came out, about his diet and everything. This was many years ago. And going over it, I'm pretty sure I did at least one podcast, if not, like, many, about, like, what the fuck Hugh Jackman ate and did to get in that Wolverine shape. But again, yeah, Henry Cavill just doesn't look right as Wolverine. He is, like, too bulky of a dude. He's big. That was the point I was trying to get into as I digressed into a million different directions. I need the TVA here to prune my alternate digressions so I can stay on the one true. Yeah. What timeline? Whatever. prune away. Yeah, Henry Cavill, though, just looked kind of fucking weird as Wolverine, which I know there's a lot of people. He's got the voice. That voice is a solid voice for Wolverine. That is a big part of it. I mean, I do love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but when I hear Wolverine in my head, I hear the fucking X-Men 97 Wolverine. Bubba, I hear that. Jean Grey. I'm not doing it very well. But, you know, if you watch X-Men 97 and the original, like, X-Men cartoon that, you know, X-Men 97 is a continuation on, that Wolverine voice, that is the fucking voice of Wolverine, bub. But that being said, I mean, Hugh Jackman's got it going on as Wolverine. It's going to be really difficult to see anybody else play Wolverine. It does look like, you know, I mean, there will probably be another Deadpool, and Wolverine looks like he's probably going to be in it again. Mr. Hugh Jackman, and possibly in the Doomsday with RDJ. Robert Downey Jr., that is. As Victor Von Doom. But yeah, anyway, Henry Cavill just looked really weird. But another in that sequence, though, where he's, again, like seeing all the variants of Wolverines, I did love the fact that we got to see the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, and he's missing the one hand and just kicking the shit out of Deadpool. I really did love, that's my favorite like storyline in the X-Men comics. Is, again, I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, that the Age of Apocalypse is my favorite storyline. It's pretty fantastic. And it was great to see that variant in there. And I think he's got a patch on one eye, too, if I remember correctly. I mean, that Wolverine's all fucked up. And you get the, I forgot what storyline it's from, but there's the Wolverine on the hanging on the X that's basically like a crucifix, but it's an X that he's on. It looks very much, it looks kind of like the video to Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box. Unrelated. I don't think that there's any relation there, but it looks, the scenery kind of looks like it. I guess same colors. Now, as far as cameos are concerned, I would have liked to see, you know, I realize, you know, you only got a certain room for budget concerns. This is a big reason why, you know, they can't throw everybody in there. I was surprised to see Wesley Snipes as Blade. And it does sound like they're having issues making the Blade. They're, of course, rebooting Blade. And then I forgot what actor they're putting in there as Blade this time. But that one sounds like it may not be working out. Then they jokingly, Wesley Snipes is in there like, there's only one true Blade. There's only one Blade and there will only ever be one Blade. Something along those lines. Which I thought was, you know, pretty funny. And I was surprised to see Wesley Snipes and Jennifer Garner as Elektra. And that was pretty funny to hear him talking about. I'm sorry to hear about Daredevil, which, of course, she was married to Ben Affleck that played Daredevil in the... was it? I believe there was an Elektra movie, but there's also the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck that... she was involved in. Hell, I don't remember. I don't remember the... I think I blacked out the Ben Affleck as Daredevil. I like some Ben Affleck stuff, but a lot of Ben Affleck stuff, I'm like, ooh, I could do without. I could do without. I like early Ben Affleck. Like when he was doing Chasing Amy, when he's in his brief part in Mallrats. Or what? Yeah, his part... His part in Mallrats is the douchey guy where he's talking about like two girls in an uncomfortable spot. You mean like what, in the back of a Volkswagen? That is but it, you know, he was like basically the protagonist, I guess, in Chasing Amy, which is a classic film. Anyway, his superhero movies, I've tried to black out. It was Daredevil, him as Batman. Which people have said, oh, yeah, he's pretty good as Batman. Those movies are horrible. I didn't even think he was, like, great as Batman. I mean, it's just those newer DC movies, man, they fucking suck. The last Batman wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. I like Thomas Middleditch's take on it. If you watch the Batcand with Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes is the Christian Bale Batman, whereas Thomas Middleditch is the newer Batman. Fucking the guy from Twilight. Shit. Well, he's the Batman, I guess, is what see here. I'm blanking. Robert Pattinson. Isn't that his name? I think that's his name. See, yeah, Robert Pattinson. I remembered it before I actually IMDb'd it, but it is Robert Pattinson. It took me a minute. He was all right as Batman. It just seemed very very odd. It was just very based on the Nirvana. I know they kept playing Nirvana throughout the film. Or maybe it was just a one part, but there's a... Yeah, Thomas Middleditch, though, doing that Batman is pretty funny. It's pretty right on. Pretty right on. And the outside, like, the Batman films, I mean, the Ben Affleck, I guess, didn't do any just straight Batman. It was the Batman versus Superman, which I thought was fucking terrible. And you have, like, the greatest, like, Superman character ever, the one that killed him, Doomsday, which is in there, and it doesn't seem like the bleh. Like, one of the greatest storylines in comics is the death of Superman. And this is just kind of... It should have been... If you're going to make that kind of movie with Doomsday, I mean, it needs to be just fucking Superman being fucking brutally murdered by Doomsday. Like, own it, man. Don't throw in Ben Affleck as Beefcake Batman. Which he's like HGH Batman. He's got like the big head. The suit, like, I don't necessarily think Affleck was that bad as Batman, but it's like just weird decisions on like the suit and just the overall look of the films. And it's just like, you know, maybe if he would have been in like a Burton Batman or something, would have been better. I don't know. I just wasn't buying Affleck as Batman. Henry Cavill, I think he does like a good Superman. He's just been unfortunate enough to be in some shitty Superman movies. Like shitty, shitty Superman movies. Anyway, the cameos, one cameo I was really kind of hoping for, which I'm thinking they could have afforded. But I don't know, maybe he's got a big asking price now. I mean, he was in the Crazy Rich Asians, and I think he got an Oscar for that, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. But he's also in the Loki TV series. He started in the second season, and of course, he's in two of the greatest films ever made. One being Goonies. And the other, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I mean, of course, I mean, Short Round, a.k.a. Data, also known as Ke Huy Quan. I was hoping for Ke Huy Quan, but I did not get any Ke Huy Quan. I feel like, I mean, he should have been in there with they had the TVA. Why not Ke Huy Quan? I get Owen Wilson. Probably would have needed a lot of money. Probably got a lot going on. I would have liked to have also seen Sylvie. I forgot the name of the actress that plays her. I fucking love me some Sylvie. I feel like Key would have been great to see Key in there. But fun fact though about Ke Huy Quan, which I guess maybe he was working on Deadpool in some way, because there's these stories out there about he did get to reunite with Hugh Jackman, because apparently he had worked on X-Men. He wasn't acting at the time. So here's a story on Comic Book Resources. That's what that is. Well, that sounds like a legit CBR. Anyway, they have this saying here. In a heartwarming moment, Deadpool and Wolverine star Hugh Jackman shared a touching story about his reunion with Ke Huy Quan over 24 years after they worked together on X-Men, where Jackman debuted as Wolverine. The pair became MCU stars since they worked together over two decades ago. Why the fuck isn't Ke Huy Quan in the movie? Anyway, Jackman posted a photo of the two at Kevin Feige's Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony, accompanied by a voiceover recounting their reunion. Reflecting on his reunion with Quan following the release of Deadpool and Wolverine, Jackman said, "One of the things about the movie being released is so many moments are happening that are making me appreciate the 25 years that I've been playing Wolverine. I saw Ke Huy Quan, and of course, he won an Oscar recently. Okay, I did get that right. And his story is incredible, and his career is incredible, and we saw each other, and we embraced because we worked together on X-Men. Jackman explained that the Loki actor was on the stunt team of the 2000 film and credited the team for teaching him how to perform in action movies. That's really where I learned a lot about how to do action movies and how to do stunts. And it was just really cool to see him again and to recount, the Logan star said. Quan also shared the reunion on his social media, posting a selfie with Jackman expressing his admiration for Deadpool and Wolverine. Ran into Hugh Jackman recently. He wrote, "The last time I saw him was 24 years ago on the X-Men set. He is just as nice as I remembered." He wrote before congratulating Jackman, Reynolds, and the entire Deadpool and Wolverine team. Quan, who joined... Maybe I'll get an answer on why he was in the film. Quan, who joined the cast of Loki Season 2, has continued to impress with his talents, earning a Critics' Choice Television Award nomination for his role in the series. After graduating from USC, Quan helped choreograph fight scenes in X-Men and worked as a translator on the set. In 2023, Ke Huy Quan won both a Golden Globe and an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his performance in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Oh, no, I was thinking... Not in Crazy Rich Asian. Getting movies can... Mixed up in my head. I haven't seen either one of the films. Anyway, he made history as the first Asian man to win an individual category at the Screen Actors Guild Awards for the same role and the first Vietnamese American actor to be nominated in the supporting category. And he's just fucking, he's just the man. Da 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 da. Yeah, just going to how much it grossed. A lot. Deadpool and Wolverine's a hit. I would, if you didn't know it was going to be a hit beforehand, then I don't think you live in a different world. Anyway, yeah, it would have been great to see Ke Huy Quan in there. Just throw him in there. As Ouroboros, I guess is the name of his character. I love me some Ke Huy Quan. It's great to see him acting again. And he's great in Loki. I haven't seen his Oscar-winning performance. There's just so much shit nowadays, and I as I get older, I'm just like more and more tired. It's hard for me to like sit through like a whole movie, especially being a steelworker now. And so it's hard for me to go like, oh, I'm going to watch all of this stuff. I mean, I had to go back and watch like Deadpool 1 and 2. I still haven't made it through all of Deadpool 2. As I just watching little clumps, little segments. And I'm just also trying to watch the final season to Cobra Kai, as that's a fantastic show, of course. As I guess that's pretty much all. Oh no, I know another. I was gonna say that's pretty much all I had to really say about Deadpool and Wolverine. But there is one other thing I wanted to address in Deadpool Wolverine. Of course, one of the other cameos was one Channing Tatum as Gambit. Which I had heard that he had wanted to play Gambit, that there was going to potentially be a movie at a point, and it just, I guess things just didn't materialize. And, but I never, when I think of, course, you know, after I was a fan of the comics, I still got a bunch of X-Men comics. As a kid from the 80s and 90s, you know, growing up with that shit, you have in your head from the comic and the cartoon, like what Wolverine and Gambit look like, which I'm happy with the Hugh Jackman. I just want to stress that again. Hugh Jackman, love him as Wolverine, even though, you know, he is a bit tall. You can't really tell. He's hunched over a lot in the movies. They shoot it to where you can't really notice that he's a rather tall individual. But, you have like a Channing Tatum, he's a bit of a beefcake. He's a beefier guy. Doesn't really look like Gambit so much. I don't think it would look as bad if it wasn't for like the head. If they didn't go with like, they went comic book accurate like suit for Gambit in this one, and he looks a little silly in the suit. I feel like the thing on his head made it look pretty bad. Like it just doesn't look right. I feel like maybe they could have done something better with that. Maybe they didn't have to go quite comic book accurate with that. But I tell you what, though. Like, I'm not a big Channing Tatum fan. He's done some good stuff. I mean, he's done stuff with Tarantino and stuff now. And I thought he did... The voice was spot on. That was one thing I was like, man, Channing Tatum. Like, Gambit's like French Creole. He's from, like, Louisiana. You know, he's fucking... can speak French and whatnot. And he nailed the voice. Nailed the voice. That's a big part of it. You know, that's kind of a one thing I could say. Like, Jackman's voice is all right for Wolverine, but it's not, again, I would go, when I hear the voice of Wolverine, I still hear the fucking cartoon voice actor, whom I don't know the name of. Damn it. Let's see. Here we go. We'll fix that. Steve Bloom, I believe it. Or nope, not Steve Bloom. Cal Dodd. That is the name. Yeah, that is Cal Dodd. That's who I fucking hear when I fucking hear Wolverine. That is just fucking in my head. Wolverine. But now, dude, Channing Tatum, his voice, and I'll give him some fucking credit, props. Apparently, I mean, he really does love Gambit, and he clearly has worked on that voice, and that voice is fucking solid. I just might say that, you know, you might want to do some wardrobe, some different decisions on the wardrobe if you're going to do like a true Gambit movie. See here. There's got to be. Let's see here. There we go. Gambit movie. Is there going to be. He's getting a bit older, too, man. Like, Channing Tatum's probably around my age. Like, if he's going to do, like, a full on, like, Gambit movie, he probably needs to get it done. Like, Gambit's. Like, maybe in his 30s, like, comic book. I mean, you can do a lot in the movies to, you know, hide age, especially when you're, like, in quite, you know, a lot of, in a movie that's going to involve a lot of CG anyway. But, you know, it seems like, you know, that now with having him in there, knowing Deadpool is such a big hit, Deadpool Wolverine, that is. Then, you know, I would venture to guess that this would really give some heat as far as wanting to put out like a Gambit movie and what have you. The original Wolverine Origins movie, X-Men Origins, when that movie came out, they were meaning to make a Gambit movie. With, I mean, there was the Gambit that was in that. He wasn't a big actor. I don't remember what his that fella's name. But they were planning on, of course, Ryan Reynolds was in that. And they, back then, I think, were thinking of a Deadpool movie. And, yeah, that movie wasn't so great. Especially what they did with Deadpool. And somehow, though, Ryan Reynolds loved that thing so much. And was able to keep with it and finally, you know, got Deadpool made, like, was it six, seven years after that X-Men Origins movie? I don't know, it was quite a few years after. And pretty impressive that he got that made, because that movie did not do so well. And it really, again, like, from what I understand, I mean, I don't have any insider sources. I just watch a lot of YouTube videos. And I guess I read stuff from, you know, entertainment sources. But it's stuff that's readily available on the internet. It's not like I'm digging deep. I'm not interviewing people that are in the know. But from what I understand, yeah, they were planning on making several other X-Men Origins movies, and They kept that in the... What kills me is they didn't realize the popularity of Wolverine. They didn't think Wolverine could, like, sell enough tickets on his own, which actually I think the movie did all right financially initially. But, you know, it's not the greatest. Like, they really did... I mean, it's got, surprisingly, according to IMDb, it's rated 6.5, which is a decent rating. I mean, Dark Phoenix, which is probably the worst of, I'd say, all the X-Men movies. I mean, I think that's pretty... I haven't seen the New Mutants. That's not really the X-Men per se. That one's rated below Dark Phoenix, but I would say the Dark Phoenix was like the worst of the worst. It took a long time for me to see that one, but it's pretty bad. Like, it's pretty bad. And it's rated like 5.7 on IMDb. X-Men Origins Wolverine is almost a full point ahead of that. Not quite. At 6.5. But he, I mean, you start heading into like 7 and stuff. Like, that's a much better score. That's a decent score as far as IMDb is concerned. All the Deadpool movies rate quite a bit, at least a full point ahead of the X-Men Origins Wolverine. Anyway, yeah, we missed out on a Gambit movie because of that movie. It was not critically received, but I'm pretty sure that most superhero movies are not very well received by critics. You know, they're not loved by critics. but yeah, I'm venture to guess that I'm wondering now if, you know, is there going to be a new Blade with Wesley Snipes now because of this? I mean, this opened up a lot of doors. I mean, Wesley Snipes has got to be, he's got to be pretty old at this this point. He's got to be like 60. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Wesley Snipes' Blade breaks 2 Guinness World Records. For one of them, he overtook Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. What are the 2 records here? Wesley Snipes' Blade is broke. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. The actor returned to the half-vampire Daywalker in Deadpool and Wolverine, officially making him the person to hold the longest career as a live-action Marvel character. According to Guinness World Records, he beat out his co-star Hugh Jackman, with Snipes' return coming 25 years and 240 days after he first played the character in 1998's Blade. Not by much. He didn't beat Jackman by much. So Jackman, meanwhile, had his first outing as Wolverine in 2000's X-Men and was expected to take the record from Sir Patrick Stewart for Charles Xavier / Professor X upon the release of Deadpool 3, but lost it to Snipes. He sniped it right out of his hand. Blade's surprise cameo in the film also broke the record for the longest gap between character appearances in Marvel films, according to Guinness tabulations. Snipes' last appearance as the character was in Blade Trinity in 2004, which was 19 years and 231 days before the Sean Levy movie was released. He surpassed Alfred Molina's 17-year gap between playing Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2 and his appearance in Spider-Man No Way Home. Snipes' Blade was one of the many cameos. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, we're getting into that. I just want to know, like, I imagine there's probably, they're tossing around. See here, Variety saying Wesley Snipes thought Blade Return and Deadpool Wolverine wouldn't make sense with MCU's reboot on the way. He originally moved on after talks for 4th movie died. Wesley Snipes opened up to Entertainment Weekly about what it was like reprising Blade and Deadpool and Wolverine. He was one of the film's big cameos and even attended San Diego Comic-Con last week to surprise fans after a screen of the Marvel blockbuster with the movie's other cameo actors. Over the years, we've had very interesting conversations, some of them very substantive, I can't speak, and some of them not. Snipes told EW about bringing his iteration of Blade back for a 4th go-around, so I kind of resided that I was moving on from them, which is okay. I did three of them, and I thought they turned out pretty good, not so bad. So we move on to other things and bigger and better things as well. Snipes debuted as Blade 90, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Blade 2. Oh, I forgot Guillermo del Toro was involved in the sequel. Of course, Ryan Reynolds was in the last Blade film. Which it does say here, the latter film co-star Reynolds, who just so happened to text Snipes during development on Deadpool and Wolverine to ask if he might be interested in reprising Blade. Reynolds sent a text that read, "I want to talk to you." Snipes said, "I did not think it was possible. I didn't think we would be able to pull it off. I didn't think that Marvel was into it. Disney was into it, also because they had Mahershala Ali cast for the next upcoming version of it. I thought it didn't make sense to me, but when you get a call from Ryan Reynolds out of the blue after 20 years, you go, okay, I got to take this call. Let's see what this is about. He told me the idea. They said, yes, and it's a go. If you're in, we're in. Here we are." it does talk about the reboot. All right, finally here. Marvel has been developing its own Blade reboot with Ali for the past couple of years, although it has faced numerous development issues. It was announced June 12th that director Yann Demange was exiting the movie, and that a new screenwriter, Eric Pearson, from the Fantastic Four and the Black Widow, was coming on board. Snipes took to X at the time to post, "Blade, lordy, lordy, lordy. Folks still looking for the secret sauce. Riding snowmobiles in traffic kind of rough. Daywalkers make it look easy, don't they?" Marvel announced a Blade movie with Ali in July of 2019. Bassam Tariq was the first director to join the project, although he exited September 2022, roughly 2 months before the film was set to begin filming. Several screenwriters have also been announced through the years, from Watchmen scribe Stacey Osei-Kufour to Michael Starbury. Variety reported last November the Blade had gone through at least five writers by that time. One person familiar with the script changes said the story at one point morphed into a narrative led by women and filled with life lessons. Speculation at the time said that Marvel was still looking to make the film, but on a budget of less than $100 million. Whether or not Ali's Blade finally makes it to the screen remains to be seen, but at least that film's development did not impact Snipes returning to the character in Deadpool Wolverine. And it does say here, "I wasn't Blade ready, man. I don't walk around as Blade every day, you know what I mean?" Snipes told EW about playing Blade again, "With a trench coat and shades and fangs in my mouth, we had to work out. We definitely had to get the body, and my biggest concern was being in condition enough to deal with whatever the action was. They didn't really tell me what the action was going to be, so I prepared for whatever that was going to come. Thankfully, I didn't have to do as much as I thought I would, because the action movies are tough. They're not easy at all by any means. About a month into it, I got the body right, and then with the help of a little customized foam well placed in certain areas, it was all good to go, baby. Let's ride." I was kind of curious about like what it was like. I mean, Wesley Snipes has got it. I mean, he's not a young pup. He is he's got to be getting up there. I'm going to venture to guess. I would venture to guess he's around 60. I would think. I don't need news. Just tell me what the man's... 62. Yeah. I figured he had to be somewhere around there. 62 years old. I mean, it's got to be a little rough getting that fucking Blade shape. It's 62. I mean, he was in, I guess, about to hit... he was about my age when he played Blade last. I mean, it's tough to do in your 40s to be get that ripped and shit. But I would imagine a lot harder when you add a couple decades onto that. Yeah, like 25 years later. Which I guess, yeah, he would have been in his 30s, I guess, the last time he played fucking Blade. As I'm looking at Wesley Snipes' Blade getting that... He had it, man. He had a nice little build going on. I mean, he's not Hugh Jackman ripped. Definitely not Hugh Jackman ripped. But he had fucking... I mean, he was clearly working out back then. He wasn't fucking around. Not fucking around. I mean, I wouldn't fuck with Wesley Snipes in his 60s. Sure wouldn't have back then. Not in the old Blade days. As I gotta say, he's in my favorite Stallone movie of all time. Demolition Man. I mean, it's hard to say that over the top. I mean, Over the Top's pretty fucking great. But Demolition Man. Holy shit. Send a Maniac to Catch a Maniac. He was just fucking... I mean, that movie's so fucking fantastic. You got... Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone. What a combination. Those two are just fantastic in it. That now I'm just getting like flashbacks of Demolition Man. You know, the craziness, the high fives where they don't touch. I feel like that was a foreshadowing COVID. That they couldn't do physical touch anymore. It was like, this is what the future is going to be like. They weren't wearing the masks, but they're like, you can't high five, you can't fuck each other. You got to do the virtual goggles and fucking via VR, which I'm already doing that with my VR headset. I got that under control. I'm not high fiving friends in the air though. Not air fives. No air fives. As far as I know, there's not any public places where you get fined for cursing. So, you know, fuck all that shit. It does seem like they're policing like YouTube and stuff with that stuff like more now. Like you gotta be careful dropping certain profanities that, I guess I'm not sure, how those policies exactly work. I know that a lot of YouTubers bleep shit out nowadays. So I'm venturing to guess at least there's something to do with monetizing stuff and having in there. Or perhaps I think there's a option to mark your stuff as explicit. So I've only ever put one YouTube video up, and it was several years back now. It was back when I lived in the Slapbox bunker. So I don't really recall. I guess before I wrap up, though, I should state that, man... Well, it's official. I have gotten the money from the home equity loan. I briefly had over 70 grand in my bank account. It is not in there anymore. I mean, some of it is, but not all. I did pay off all my other debt besides the mortgage with it. So, I mean, that ate up a lot of... most of the money that, so far, I haven't spent much of the money other than that. I intend to get a quote on the roof, hopefully next week. Like, I'll get a hold of Shingle Tech and try to get a quote on what it'll cost me to get a new roof. I'm starting to think I'm going to pass on getting the new windows because I'm thinking it could end up being like 20, 30 grand. I mean, it really depends on what the price is. I'm thinking I want to try to pay back like 20. I was going to throw like 25,000 into a savings account, hold on to it. I'm thinking I just want to just pay it off on the loan. Just whatever I don't spend, hopefully it being like 20, 30 grand, pay that back off on the loan. And I'm going to get this loan done and over with as soon as possible because it does really bug me out that, if in an instant something happens to the housing market and my place just loses its value overnight, like significantly, then the bank will call and be like, we want that money right fucking now. Or I get, you know, foreclosed on. That is a, that's a big concern. So I'm thinking it's in my best interest to try to pay this loan off as quickly as possible. but I have a plan that hopefully I'd be able to get that paid off within 5 to 7 years. So it'd be like basically like a car loan. If I do this right, if you know, things go all right, I continue to make near what I make now money wise, then theoretically, I could pay that off in like 5 to 7 years. And if nothing else goes wrong in that time period to where I need to spend a lot of money in some other fashion, then theoretically I could do that and be, you know, keep, if I keep my car running that whole time and not have to get a different vehicle, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen. But theoretically, I could get rid of most of my debt by the time I'm 50. That would be a pretty great feeling. But I did make one furniture purchase. I have not received it yet. It's probably going to be a few months out because it's not built yet. I did order an epoxy table off of Etsy. It is a volcanic lava epoxy resin river gaming table. Which it's basically just a dining table. It'll look good for, like, I plan to play board games on it. I have not heard back yet from the seller. But from what I understand, like, I just got, you know, a generic thing saying expect it sometime in, like, September to October. I'm going to venture to guess that whoever's building it, Wood Eyes Woodworks is the shop on Etsy that sells it. It's handmade furniture and magnetic bottle openers. They're out of Marietta, Georgia. Nick DeMayo is the fella, I guess, in charge of that. I don't know if it's a one-man operation or if he's got a couple other people that work with him. I'm going to venture to guess it's not very many people involved in it. You know, generally, like Etsy, a lot of people that sell stuff on Etsy, it's like very small scale stuff. This isn't there isn't a factory that's pumping this shit out. So, I'm gonna guess this could take a while. I mean, if there's like there could be a very, very big long wait before I get this. So I don't know when to expect that. I do have a friend that I run with. I haven't talked to him quite a while now, but he had moved to Owensville and, he sells his own furniture. He doesn't do epoxy tables unless he started doing it recently, but, he's got a lot of, shit. Now I got to find out what if I'm going to talk about it, fuck, I don't remember the name of it. I can't really type. This is let's see here. Nope, that is not, is that, did I type the wrong? This isn't right. Yeah, damn it, I'm not finding. Anyway, yeah, my friend has been doing his own furniture, I guess. I may have spelt his name wrong. I figured I was going to spell his name wrong. Urban Mill Woodworks, that's the name of his furniture store. Yeah, it's him and his wife that that do this stuff. I thought about getting some furniture for him, but I really wanted an epoxy table. He doesn't do epoxy. And the big thing is, last I talked to him, he said he had like a 6 month like backlog of orders. I mean, it's just him building the stuff. He's got some really awesome fucking machinery that he uses. He does restorations too. But I mean, these the stuff that he's using, I mean, he had some of the machinery he's using is like over 100 years old. But I'm guessing, too, like his stuff is, I'm going to venture to guess, probably out of my price range. Although maybe not. I mean, it's probably about the same as this epoxy table. But I would venture to guess if I had them like built, it might take, you know, a solid year to get something out of it. Well, it is some smaller stuff. I mean, there is some shelving and stuff I could get if I want some shelves. God, sweet cutting board. But they got some. They got some stuff up on on their website, the UrbanMillWoodworks.com, which at some point I guess I should probably buy something from. But it was during 2020 he was laid off from his company, and then that's how he started doing that whole deal. But he's got some machinery that is well over 100 years old. But yeah, I have an epoxy table coming to me at some point. I would hopefully hear something back about that here soon. I did also get, I was pretty excited about this, but this is something I could afford without having a home equity loan. I just never got around to buying it. But I was wanting to get, I have this poster that I'd gotten in Munich from the race that I had ran there. And it has the route from the race with all the like landmarks and stuff. And it has my race bib with my name on it and number for the race attached to the poster. But I got the poster when I did the run. That was one of the things. I think I got it free. I don't know. I might have to pay for it. Either way, I mean, I had to pay. It was like $100 to do the race. And, you know, a couple of grand to go to Munich and, you know, hang out there with the flight, hotel, all that stuff. It was probably like $2,000 or so. I don't remember how much I spent. Maybe upwards of $3,000. I don't remember. This was back when, you know, I lived in my friend's basement. Anyway. Oh, the good old days. Yeah, I wanted to hang that poster up, but it was an odd. I got the poster in Europe. They have different standard poster size. I think like Michael's here in town, the craft store, I think they had. I do believe they had like some frames of that, but they were kind of pricey, the ones there. And I was like, just going like, all right, I'll eventually just order one off of fucking Amazon. Just never got around to it. I was like, well, you know what? I got money in the bank right now. I might as well order a fucking frame. So I ordered a frame for that and I hung it on the wall. So I've got something on the wall downstairs finally, other than the TV. That was kind of exciting. And then, this is one thing that was kind of pricey. I did order a steel poster of the Alex Gray painting Net of Being off his legit, you know, website. And so the money is going to Alex Gray and his church, is the Cosm, which they're considered a church. Anyway, always love Alex Gray's art. If you're not familiar with that, but you know the band Tool, a lot of their artwork inside their albums is from Alex Gray, and of course in a few of their videos you got some Alex Gray stuff going on, like Schism I think is one where you'll see some of his work. Anyway, Lateralis I believe was the first album that Alex Gray started doing artwork for them, and Lateralis onwards you get and you know the albums preceding Lateralis have artwork from Alex Gray. Now I'm trying to think if 10,000 Days had his artwork. I think maybe he did some of the artwork for 10,000 Days. But I know he did. I mean, Lateralis is the big one. Fear Inoculum, I know he did the latest album. Anyway, Yeah. Just always love the net of beating. Net of being. Son of a bitch. And there's. Yeah, that is a great, great thing. And you can get, there is, oh man, that is a really fucking cool. That's a grand though. I'm not, but that's a holographic foil. 10 grand. How big is this? Or not 10 grand. Oh, sorry. A grand. What the fuck? I would love to see the foil one. But the metal, I mean, the metal one should be pretty cool. I haven't seen it yet. It's supposed to get here on Monday. I'm pretty excited to have that on the wall. It's like standard poster size. Not the weird one that I got from Europe. It'll be a little bit different because it'll be tilted, you know, on its side. It's not like you would normally hang a poster. yeah, that's something to look forward to. I haven't bought any theater seating yet. I'm still kind of on the fence on that. I may or may not do that. The stuff I was originally looking at, I was thinking is way too expensive. There is some other stuff I'm looking at through Ashley Furniture, which they do have a shop near me. They've got some stuff that's far more reasonable with that. And I don't want to spend a fuck ton of money on something that the cat's probably just going to tear to shit. So that's definitely something that just doesn't sound good. Having the cat tear everything up. But I'm excited to at least get this shit on my walls. And eventually, even though I'm kind of leaning towards probably not doing the windows, I will be doing some like repairs around the house. I want to probably get a power washer, wash the outside up some, and I'm going to, I guess, attempt to paint my garage door because somebody had egged it like months and months ago. It was quite a while back. And I didn't realize they had done it until it was already dried on there. And so getting it off was just, there's still marks on that door. It just does not look great. It needs to get painted. I've never painted a garage door. It seems like a pain in the ass. I painted walls. So that'll be interesting. And of course, like once the roof is all good, then I want to replace some drywall and do some painting on the inside. And I do need to replace the seal on the garage door as well. That'll be interesting. I don't know if that's difficult at all. I would hope not. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. I guess I should wrap this up. I've been droning on now for quite some time. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.